You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hannah Baba. When it becomes legal to sell recreational marijuana in California on January 1st, the laws about driving impaired by marijuana will remain the same. That is to say, pretty hazy. You can't drive, quote, under the influence, end quote. But what does that mean? And how much influence is too much? KALW's transportation reporter Eli Wirtschafter discovered an emerging industry trying to solve that problem.
My friend Meg Schwarzman used to bike through this intersection in Berkeley almost every day.
We're at the corner of Bancroft and Fulton.
Then, last February, she was in a crash that almost killed her. She had an 11-month-old baby at home, so she was being an extra careful biker. She was wearing a Dayglo green jacket and a new helmet over her curly hair.
So this intersection is where I was hit. The driver was behind me and he ran over me from behind, trapping me under the car and dragging me 60 feet across the intersection.
The driver was a medical cannabis user. He told police he had smoked before getting in the car.
He actually was high enough he didn't know he'd hit me.
Firefighters pulled Meg out from under the car just in time to save her life. Her injuries included 20 broken ribs, 2 collapsed lungs, and skull fractures around her left eye and cheek.
They'd called in the fatal accident investigation team. They didn't expect me to survive.
Meg recovered completely, apart from some serious scars. But she's worried that as marijuana is legalized, there will be more stoned drivers on the road.
We have some deterrence with alcohol in that we have breathalyzer tests and legal consequences. And there are legal consequences for driving high also, but there aren't good tests for it.
In California, the consequences for driving drunk and driving high are the same. But while there's a clear blood limit for alcohol, there's no such standard for marijuana.
Marijuana is very different than alcohol.
This is Jolene Foreman, a lawyer with the Drug Policy Alliance.
With alcohol, there's a very clear correlation between the amount of drinks you have and your gender and body weight and what your level of impairment is.
You drink a glass of wine and the alcohol shows up in your blood. It also shows up in your brain. It impairs your ability to drive. And then over time, the effects wear off. The alcohol disappears from your brain and your blood too.
Marijuana works totally differently, where it can stay in your blood for days and even weeks after you've consumed it.
Besides that, THC, the chemical in marijuana that gets you high, can affect people really differently.
There is no clear correlation between THC levels in the blood and driving impairment.
On average, marijuana does make most people worse drivers, especially 20 to 40 minutes after smoking. But measuring THC isn't a good way to tell how much worse. Now, that didn't stop Washington and Colorado from setting a THC limit for drivers. But California went the other way. Here, there's no numerical limit on THC. Instead, the law says you can't drive under the influence of any drug. Period. A conviction depends on what an officer observes, like the car smells like pot or a physical sobriety test.
Where you see people, you know, touching their fingers to their nose or standing on one leg.
Some officers are trained to identify specific signs of marijuana use, like dilated pupils. But Andrea Roth, a law professor at UC Berkeley, says those tests are relatively subjective. And because of that, there's potential for racial bias in how they're enforced. Cops already pull over Black and Hispanic drivers at higher rates. Roth says an objective test could help prevent innocent drivers from getting DUIs.
There's less risk of racial bias at the point of determining whether somebody is intoxicated, if there's a machine measurable result.
As marijuana becomes legal, there's growing demand for an objective test, one that really works.
The holy grail will be to find some way, some scientifically robust way to determine level of intoxication.
A bunch of companies are chasing after that holy grail. One of them is headquartered in downtown Oakland, right in the heart of the new cannabis economy.
If we walk down this way a little bit towards Telegraph, we'll hit one of the dispensaries. Then there's multiple other ones within a couple of blocks of here.
Mike Lynn is a trained ER doctor turned entrepreneur, but he doesn't make cannabis chocolates or THC lollipops. Lynn co-founded a company called Hound Labs.
Come on in, I'll show you.
And they make this.
Oops. This is our Hound Labs marijuana breathalyzer.
It's a twofer. It measures levels of both THC and alcohol. The two substances together have a stronger effect on drivers than either one alone. The device looks a bit like a black plastic tape dispenser with a tube sticking out.
And you blow through that tube, it'll make a noise telling you that you're blowing properly.
THC in breath comes in tiny concentrations. It's hard to detect, and there isn't much research published yet. But Lynn says the Hound Labs device can measure it. And he says, unlike with blood, THC stays in breath only a few hours.
Why that is, nobody really knows. We just know that when you have THC in your breath, you've used pot very, very recently, and you're much more likely to be impaired.
The Hound Labs test doesn't prove someone's actually impaired, but it could still serve as evidence someone used cannabis recently. Hound Labs hopes to sell the breathalyzer to police departments starting next year, including to some in the Bay Area.
We're contacted by departments all over the country and, frankly, multiple countries outside the U.S. as well.
A marijuana breathalyzer could mean big business. Hound Labs has raised about $14 million in venture capital. But not everyone's buying into the breathalyzer idea, like Dale Geringer. He's the head of California Normal, which supports more permissive marijuana laws.
You might have it on your breath, but does that mean that you're actually impaired?
Geringer says the most important thing in setting a DUI law is how risky someone's behavior is. And marijuana, he says, just isn't that big an increased risk.
Less than the risk of having two other people in the car with you, not to mention the risk of being a driver under 25 or being a male driver.
Those risk numbers are disputed by different studies, but most show marijuana having only a small effect on driving. Geringer says for marijuana, or any drug, we need a way to measure if you're really safe to drive, not just if there's a chemical in your system.
I actually have an app to do it in my pocket here.
Yes, there are apps. This one's called My Canary.
My Canary. Okay, so here it is, all right?
It asks him to remember a series of numbers and then do a balancing test.
Cross my arms in front of my body like King Tut, then raise my dominant foot.
Geringer is on a statewide highway patrol task force that will suggest policies for drug DUIs. He says apps like this one could give a more fair assessment of whether someone is impaired, no matter what they've used. And it could help people measure their own impairment. My friend Meg, who was hit by a stoned driver, says we need not just better testing, but also better public awareness.
There's been such a cultural shift because of medical marijuana that it's a substance that can have so many helpful applications that we're maybe losing sight of some of the places that we actually need to be really cautious about it.
In Meg's case, there was no question the driver was high. He failed a sobriety test, his car smelled like weed, and he owned up to smoking before driving.
What I've heard him say is that he sort of dismissed how seriously the pot affected him.
The driver was a professional actor. Now he's writing a presentation which he'll give at local schools. It's about the story of the crash.
How much harm it's possible to cause with a simple bad decision.
A state-funded study estimates that a quarter of legal cannabis buyers will be people who weren't buying it before. Meg hopes that they'll be careful when they get behind the wheel. In Berkeley, I'm Eli Wirtschafter for Cross Currents.